entities. That's a special feature of Vrindavan. Why it is the highest abode of the Lord, it's the most confidential abode of the Lord, because there the Lord completely reveals himself. And again, that's a contradiction. Generally, we think he's revealed by knowledge. But Krishna reveals himself by displaying loving relationships with his devotees. And that's the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as well. It's full of descriptions of these loving relationships among his devotees. Let me just read to you from Prabhupada's purport from his first canto, the verse by Queen Kunti. Prabhupada says that Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not. Therefore, Yashoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yashoda got the Lord as her child, and the Lord made her forget altogether that her child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yashoda had been conscious of the exalted position of the Lord, she would certainly have hesitated to punish the Lord. But she was made to forget this situation because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of his childishness before the affectionate Yashoda. This exchange of love between mother and son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti, remembering the scene, was bewildered. She could not do anything but praise the transcendental feel love. Indirectly, Mother Yashoda is praised for her unique position of love, for she couldn't control even the all-powerful Lord as her beloved child. So this natural exchange between the Lord and his devotees is actually the absolute truth. Beyond knowledge, the goal of our spiritual practice, of our sadhana, the goal of our devotion, is to come to this position of the residents of Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan aren't learned Vedic scholars. They aren't yogis. They aren't even strict performers of sadhana bhakti. But they have a very unique loving affection for Krishna that very much attracts him. And all their activities are just exchanges of loving affection. This science of the exchange of loving affection is given in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in great detail by Srila Rupa Goswami. And so I thought today, because these subject matters are very bewildering, we can hear them and thus approach them, but getting some genuine understanding or being able to explain them, that's certainly beyond what I can present. But we can hear a description by reading the verses, and we can go to Nectar Devotion and hear the different elements of the science of bhakti rasa. And by doing that, we become purified and thus increase our eligibility to actually be able to enter into these pastimes. So I'm going to describe a little bit about what Rupa Goswami says is going on when we read about how Krishna became angry, bit his lips, had false tears in his eyes, and began to, he broke the butter pot and began to eat the butter in a solitary place. These are all components of Vatsalya Rasa. And we start with Vibhava. the definition of vibhava. Srila Goswami defines vibhava as the cause for tasting yati, the cause or basis of relishing transcendental knowledge, is exactly what we mean by vibhava. So the mellow here is this parental affection. Actually, rasa means like combinations. Rati is the attraction, the particular type of attraction. So Maria Shoda, Maharaj Nanda, their attraction to Krishna, their rati, their attraction to Krishna is in this vatsalya mood, vatsalya rati. The rasa is the mixing of different elements where this is tasted. And so vibhava is the cause, the impetus, the impelling force which takes this rati and makes it rasa. It's what happens. It's the mixture of these things together. And so there are two components to vibhava in vatsalya rasa. There's vishaya alambana, which means that Krishna is the object of parental affection. Krishna is the object of affection. And ashraya alambana, the devotee is a reservoir of parental affection. So Krishna actually remains the supreme, he remains the central focus. It's not that in love of Krishna, Krishna somehow or another loses his supremacy. No, his supremacy is there as the object of affection. And he's the object of affection for all the different rasas that we find in the spiritual world. And the devotee is in the position of being the reservoir of that love, and particular types of love. So Rupa Goswami says that, let me take shelter of the elderly parental devotees of Lord Krishna. They are always anxious to serve Krishna and to maintain him, and they are always so kind to him. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto them for being so kind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a parent of the whole universe. So the devotees hold this love, and then there are certain events that happen which impel this love or agitate this love in different ways so that it's experienced. This is one reason why Krishna is such a naughty child. If you had the perfect child, always perfect, never cried during Bhagavatam class, never caused any trouble, what would be the impetus for increasing your love? But when that child is naughty, does different things to invoke and heighten your love and responsibility as a parent, that is why Krishna acts in such a contrary way. If he steals butter, etc. Because it heightens this loving relationship of vatsalya rati. It makes it vatsalya rasa. And so that's also described technically as udipana. Udipana is the cause for impetus of the development or the expression of parental love. And there are various objects that impel that parental love, such as Krishna's age, his kumara, lila, and in that age, there's his form, his exploits, his ornaments, all these different udipanas impel love for the Lord. Krishna's age, his childish dress, movements by the child, sweet words spoken by the child, nice smiling, and various forms of childish play are considered provocations for increasing parental love for Krishna. Provocations. So you get the idea that this is like a catalyst trying to agitate the feelings, agitate in a good way, the feelings of parental affection for Krishna. From the reservoir, which is the devotee, toward the object, which is Krishna. Now, in particular relation to this pastime that we're hearing about today, Srila Rupa Goswami puts this in a sort of a special category called Shaishava Chapalya. Shaishava Chapalya, childish movements. And so Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion, when Krishna performs childish pastimes, his general practice is to break the milk and yogurt pots, to throw the yogurt in the courtyard, and steal the cream from the milk. So these are his childish movements, his childish activities. And they are, again, under this category of udipana, which is the impetus for developing or agitating the vatsalya rati to make it vatsalya rasa. So, Srila Rupa Goswami cites an example of how this activity impels parental ecstasy. And this is a quote from Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda said, just look at Krishna looking stealthily toward all sides and slowly stepping forward from the bushes. It appears that he is just coming. He's coming just to steal the butter. Don't expose yourself, or he may understand that we are looking toward him. I want to enjoy the sight of his eyebrows moving in this cunning way. And I want to see his fearful eyes and beautiful face. So this is what Mother Yashoda is enjoying here. It's interesting, in these three verses, in two of them, 7 and 8, it mentions that Mother Yashoda was smiling. In text 7, the word is there, Jahasa, smiled. And in text 8, it's also there that Mother Yashoda was smiling, seeing the Lord doing this type of behavior of moving his eyes and back and forth, looking. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary in the 10th canto explains here that Krishna was looking this way and that way with his eyes, planning a route of escape so that he could get away when Mother Yashoda came to punish him. But these particular activities were enjoyable to Mother Yashoda. She's smiling, she's enjoying these things. Her parental affection for Krishna is increasing by his doing these things. One important thing to note is that Mother Yashoda is not angry at Krishna. And Rupa Goswami explains this when he talks about rasa-basa, what types of vibhavas or agitating experiences are compatible to the rasa and which are incompatible to the rasa. And in parental affection, vatsalya rasa, anger is rasa basa. It's not compatible with Vatsalya Rasa, anger. And so it's not that Mother Yasoda is angry at Krishna here. And we see this later in this Leela, because she has her stick and she's approaching Krishna. So you think, oh, Mother Yasoda is angry, and Krishna's fearful. But when she realizes a little later that Krishna is afraid of her, and because she's carrying a stick, she throws the stick away. She doesn't want to frighten her child. She's not angry with Krishna. That's not part of what's going on here. Rather, we see her enjoying this, as it said in two of these verses. She's smiling, observing these activities of Krishna. This is Krishna Leela. Krishna Leela is based on the exchange of love between Krishna and his devotee, and it becomes very, very intricate. Whenever we study nectar devotion, we can see how intricate it is. It's almost as if every slight movement of the heart has been recognized and described by Rupa Goswami in detail in the science of devotion to Krishna. As we see, even the movements of Krishna's eyebrows and how they affect Mother Yashoda's heart are described in this Saishava childish movements. It's described. And so all the activities that take place in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the spiritual world, are just imbued with this type of loving exchange between the Lord and his devotee. Now, we're fortunate, as I said, just to be able to hear this, and we should apply ourselves to try to understand this and just qualify ourselves to experience these loving exchanges in a mood of following the residents of Vrindavan, as has been mentioned before, not to take the place of or try to become, but to follow in their footsteps and relish as they have relished these things. So, are there any comments or questions about these subject matters? Yes, Ranjitu?
I was a little surprised to hear that there are crows in Kapalaka Vrindavan. Usually you think of peacocks and parrots, green parrots, but crows are kind of unattractive. So maybe you could comment on the rasa.
Well, the crows apparently, it says here in the purport, Prabhupada's purport to text number 8, that meanwhile the crows also entered the room and came out in fear. So, the crows are there. Krishna, actually, it's interesting how Krishna interacted with the animals. And Prabhupada says in the purport to the Queen Kunti verse, he says he calls them the monkeys. He talks about the monkeys. Oh, the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. He calls the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. So we generally don't think of monkeys as being celebrated. We think of them as a nuisance, but they're celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan there. And the crows, why not crows? I mean, what's the evidence crows?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. That was a very interesting discussion about Vatsalya Rasa. I don't have this very well formulated, but I was thinking, because I remember, you know, when the purport's in the last chapter about Krishna, you know, revealing the universal form within the mouth that Yashoda, within his mouth and Mother Yashoda looks at. And there was one particular purport that talked about how this Aishvarya Jnana diminished, the relationship diminished, like, as you were saying. And it seems as though, it's interesting because I had some back and forth with Nagaraj about whether Mother Yashoda actually ever knew that Krishna was really God and was quickly covered, or whether she, and it's not clear that she ever really completely ever understood that Krishna, her son, was God, although she got all these sort of high lofty thoughts for a few moments that quickly got covered over. And I was thinking that sometimes even in some of the chapters of the gopis, once in a while they'll sort of reveal their knowledge of Krishna's position, but then it's of course quickly then again covered by you know, the yogamaya of their loving relationship. But it seems as though, I just wonder what your thoughts on it. It seems as though the, except for Mother Kunti, of course, is in a little different category where she has more recognition. But with Mother Yashoda, it seems as though she's probably more covered by yogamaya than almost in any other rasa. Does it seem that way, that it's a very, very much centered upon that Ras of Krishna as the child, and anything else would just breaks that?
Yeah. I learned, I think it's a question, a valid question. Thank you for bringing it up. Is that is the love, is it a question of knowledge versus love? I mean, we kind of see things in duality. Is it a question of knowledge versus love, that either you have knowledge or you have love? Or is it that knowledge necessarily is higher than love? Could it be that the love that the residents of Vrindavan have, absent knowledge of Krishna's majesty, is supreme over knowledge of Krishna? I mean, we tend to think in terms of knowledge because that's, we accumulate knowledge and we think that's higher than love, but is it really? I mean, I don't have an answer to this. I'm just sort of following the question you bring up, but I think it's something that's very interesting to try to explore. I mean, is it knowledge or is it love? Or is it both? Or how do they combine together? Or is the love include the knowledge? I don't have an answer to this. Ranjit, do you have an answer to that?
I think this is more revealed in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, because we see, and that example was given, that Swarup Damodar was like the guardian, the gatekeeper for the hearing of Lord Chaitanya for his pastimes. So Swarup Damodar, he would like filter out any of the rasabhas of you know, poems or presentations or philosophies that were presented to Lord Chaitanya, so that his mood was not disturbed in any way. His experience of Krishna and the gopis and whatever focus that he had at that time, you know, would remain uncontaminated by.
Okay. So there's like a firm basis of knowledge on which the loving relationships is built, and he protected, you know, that from that knowledge base from being. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Do you agree?
I was thinking it takes knowledge to enter into one's heart to serve the Lord. But once one falls in his constitutional position, then he acts spontaneously, naturally. You know, I mean, he doesn't really need knowledge or anything. He acts naturally as parent, as friend, as lover, whatever. See? But for us it takes some degree of knowledge to practice sadhana bhakti, devotional service. But then once we reach our, you know, once we're perfected, then we act naturally in our, you know, position. One point I want to make, In Govinda Lilamrita, it explains how Lord Krishna reacts with all the living entities, the birds, the beasts, the trees, all the entities. So you were talking about, this Prabhu was asking about the crows. So the crow seems to be one of the species there too. And he seems they're having a nice time with Krishna also.
Well, he said he was looking, and they got afraid when they saw her, and they went out, they left the room.
but he deals with all the creatures.
Mm. Anyway, I like your point about in setting a bhakti stage, obviously we have to cultivate knowledge. And even this, the science of devotion given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, requires quite a bit of intellectual capacity to go in and try to understand and put it all together. And so obviously there's some knowledge base there in just understanding the science of devotion. But yes, when we enter in Vrindavan, the Vrindavan bosses are very simple people. They're not Vedic scholars and they don't perform sadhana. They just love Krishna. So the love has fully manifest as the fruit of study, intellectually applying ourselves to understanding the absolute truth. But when we get there, instead of going to the Bhagavatam class, we'll just go out to the fields with Krishna and herd the cows. Which may be a challenge to some of us who are not ready to be living so simply as the residents of Vrindavan. We might end up in Dwarka or Vaikuntha somewhere. So anything else we have today? Going to Srimad Bhagavatam.